So, as I preached, or I prayed this week for, over the last 2 weeks, of what to preach and bring tonight, or today, it's not tonight yet, time dysphoria, it's fine. We have a problem in America, and not just one, we have a lot of problems in America. So, one of the problems that we see frequently is a problem called self-deception. And there are a lot of people out there who are believing things that are not true. We just had a court in California. This is really great. Added bumblebees to the threatened and endangered species list because their definition of aquatic species was not succinct enough, so they're protecting them as a fish. I don't know about you all, but I have never seen a bumblebee swim. They don't have tails, they don't have scales, they're not slimy. I've never seen a fish with a stinger, unless you're talking a stingray, but wow. So we live in a world where things seem to be filled with deceptions and with misunderstandings. We are told all the time to follow the science. But when we follow the science, people get to a line and they're like, nah, we're not going to follow the science. Or we're told to follow our faith. And then when people get to the end of their faith, they go, nah, I'm going to do what I want to do. And self-deception starts. And when we become self-deceived, it's like this boulder behind us. See that guy there holding that boulder up? Self-deception can take people away. We have a school locally, and I'm not going to say where, not locally, but within a 30, 40-mile radius, that has now put litter boxes in their classrooms because some of the kids think they're animals and they need a place to go potty. You can't make some of this stuff up. And you shake. I know when I went to school, if I went to the bathroom in a classroom, I would have been suspended for weeks on end. So, but I don't know. It none of it makes sense to me. But we try. And so a lot of this is self-deception. A lot of this is people believing things that are not true about themselves and clinging on to those things because some of it's emotional, some of it's because they have psychological problems, some of it's because our social media and the world we live in is very deceptive. Anyone ever heard of fake news? There's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of deception. So, and it's hard. It's hard to figure out what's true and what's not true. And so when we look at deception, we look at deception for what it is. It's an act or a statement that misleads, that hides the truth, or promotes a belief, concept, or idea that is not true. That's the basic concept of what deception is. Anybody here ever been deceived? We all have. How many of us have bought something on late night TV? You know, you're scrolling through and you're like, the Ronco, I don't know, hairspray on whatever it is. There's a lot of things out there. But we can be deceived relatively easily. And it's difficult not to be deceived. So, why are deceptions usually given? Deceptions are usually given so that the person or the people doing the deception can have personal gain or gain an advantage over you. Or, worse yet, to watch people suffer. If you've ever dealt with middle schoolers, you know that they're deceptive and they like to crush the ones around them. And that is a true statement. All the young people are just shaking their head, uh-huh. So you understand. So our society today, we talk about disinformation. The mainstream and its mainstream media in its entirety is not telling the truth on many topics and many things, so you have to go to multiple places. And how many of us have time to do that? Now that COVID's over and we all have to go back to work, we can't stay home all the time and look through the internet and get stressed out more and more. We actually have to detach ourselves from some of the information that's coming in, and we got to try to find good sources to do that. But deception is all around us. James 1, 16 through 18, I'm sorry, 13 through 18 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own, or dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters." Deception, by its nature, that we deal with, always tries to tempt us. How many of us have wounded areas in our life? We should all just raise our hand, because we all have wounded areas, we all have scars, we all have hurts. There is a temptation in those scars that will always be there against us. And do we engage those temptations, or do we run away from those temptations? When we're operating in self-deception and when we're operating in any deceit, it's about pride, right? It's about us making us ourselves feel better. It's about us dealing with our situations. It's about maybe not dealing with things, but pride is an aspect of deception that we need to be careful of. How many of us have operated in the flesh in our lives? How many of us have done willingly and knowingly have done something wrong? That's called the sin of commission, when we go out and we actively and willingly do something that we know we shouldn't do. How many of us have engaged in sin? Yeah, we all have engaged in sin. And sin is a very dangerous thing, right? Because sin ultimately does lead to our death. Sin ultimately separates us from God. Sin takes us away from what God has for us and makes us immobile. It makes us not function as the way that God has designed you to function. Because ultimately, God's design for humanity is that we would all have relationship with him. True? I would say that's true. And if we have relationship with him, then we can do the things that God asks us for. But when we have sin in our life, it separates us. And as the scripture points out, it brings death. It brings death on not only spiritually, it can bring death emotionally, it can bring death personally. And see, we see this more today than we ever have. One of the last statistics that I read was 41% of kids in schools right now say they have a mental health illness or mental health issue. 41%. How do we get here? How do we get from a nation that created people that were solid with faith and solid in themselves and who had good belief systems to a nation that is so troubled and so hurt that we see some of the horrors that we're seeing on the news? We were just notified yesterday that a friend of ours, and they'll remain anonymous, their niece was shot in California and killed because she wouldn't date this guy. And he basically said, "If I can't have her, nobody can." That's a mental illness. So, as we step into self-deception, keep an open mind. Because, right, first part of self-deception is not keeping an open mind. But so, how do we get to a place in self-deception that harms us? Because we're all deceived in some ways or another. We all have mechanisms in our life to keep our psyche and to keep our mental health up. Sometimes people think higher of themselves. It can be a little arrogant. Sometimes people think very low of themselves. Low self-esteem is one of the number one issues that we deal with in America. Man, it doesn't matter. I deal with the young folks all the time. I ask them, who are you? And they look at me. They laugh because I do it to you guys all the time, right? I ask them, who are you? And they'll look at me, well, I'm so-and-so. And then who is that? What does that mean? Trying to foster through who they are as a person rather than as an object in society. See, society's been really good at making people objects. But the reality is low self-esteem comes when we don't meet the mark of the lies in society. Poor self-image. When you ask somebody, what do you think of yourself? You'd be surprised how many people, if they were openly and honest, they'll point out all of their flaws and none of their positive attributes. Why aren't we focusing on our positive attributes? Because it's easier to focus on our negative. How many people, when situations arise, would rather avoid them than deal with them? Sorry, guys. If we've ever had conversations, I'd rather deal with things face on and get them done and out of the way than to put them off. Because what happens when we put things off and we avoid situations is they fester inside of us. And when they fester inside of us, we get angrier, we get more depressed, we get more anxious, and they destroy us from the inside. So we need to deal with our junk sometimes, and we need to deal with it swiftly. Sometimes people deny the truth. I love YouTube. There's all kinds of YouTube videos out there about people going, God's not real, God's not real. Well, just because you don't believe doesn't make something is real. I mean, for God's sakes, we still have people that believe the earth is square and flat. Whew, that's a hard one to swallow. But denying truth in your life, the truth that you are loved by God, the truth that you were created by God, the truth that you are somebody that's special, that you have a purpose, is the place in our world now that's happening every day. People deny the truth of their identity because it's easier to go along, because they don't know what their identity is. I tell the youth all the time, or I used to tell them all the time, I look at them and I'm like, hey, I'm a pink elephant. And they're like, you're not a pink elephant. I said, I'm a pink elephant. I've got a nose. See, it's pink. And you know, I got big feet, and I just feel like being an elephant. And they look at me, you're not an elephant. And then I look at them, and I say, then why do you believe all the lies that you're being told? Because our life is about what we believe. Our mental health is about what we believe about ourselves. Our mental health is about who we believe we are in ourselves and who we are in God. When you talk to people out there that are not saved, that do not know who Jesus is, who have no identity other than what the world has given them, they're depressed, they're hurt. You know, when I grew up 1,000 years ago, we had winners and losers. And we learned a lot about life, that life's not fair, that you're going to lose in life, and there's going to be challenges. Today, every kid gets a trophy. And when a major problem comes in their life, because the truth is, life is not fair. Does anybody think that life is fair? No. Life is not fair. And when these kids come up against life and it's not fair to them, they're challenged. And they don't know where to go. And they don't know what to do. The internet and multimedia is a major influence on self-deception. We had nowhere near the issues that we had in the past, until people have all access to all kinds of crazy things. How many parents actually believe that your child is a cat or a dog and you have to let them go to the bathroom in a litter box? Thank God. Because that's kind of bad parenting, isn't it? But where did the kid see that? Where did the kid learn that? The kid learned that on the internet. The kid learned that from talking to somebody who gave them bad direction. There are kids and even adults that post things and they get upset because they only got 5 likes. Or nobody responded at all. Or the comments were bad. Or you see wars begin on Facebook and the internet. And it's because people, in some ways, are insecure. They have to prove their points. Or find their value in everybody else's opinion. And those things can't be. And again, what we think is very important. And Scripture talks about that. Galatians 6, 3 through 5. If anyone thinks they are something that they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. What you think about yourself matters. When you let your thought life go to something that you're not, some of the issues that we deal with the youth and even the adults is words that were spoken over them in their life. You're no good, you're trash, you're garbage, you'll never be anything. You know, I remember growing up, my mom was like, your brother's the smart one, you know, you'll survive, but your brother's the smart one. Well, I'm the one that's graduated college. And not to belittle my brother at all. He did graduate college finally. He's got an associate's, I got a bachelor's. But, you know, sometimes the words that we speak to people make those people believe those words for a very long time. And we need not do that. Every word that comes out of our mouth is to be edifying. Every word that comes out of our mouth is supposed to be truthful with salt and light, right? People are going to mess up. We all make mistakes. But we need to be able to speak to people, and we need to, when people speak to us, we need to be able to say, no, I reject those words. I'm not saying, I don't believe what you said I am. This is who I am. And that comes from a strong foundation of identity. Who are you? Temptation by its nature is completely designed to separate us from God. I mentioned that before, right? In Matthew 4, 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert without food. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He had all power and authority and ability to do that. But he didn't. What was his reply? It is written. And what did he do? He went back to Scripture, and Scripture was his foundation. And he did not turn that, those stones into bread. Sometimes when we operate in our pride, Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But when humility comes, comes wisdom. Self-deception is a twisted form of pride where we take our thoughts, our identity, all of the things about us that we believe, and we make them truth. And that's twisted, folks. And that's happening every day. When we operate in our flesh, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you have used that scripture before? Oh, I fell again and my flesh was weak. Why do we make excuses? We make excuses because when we sin, we in a way like that sin. And that sin is prideful and is joyful. It brings us some form of pleasure. But we need to stop living in letting our flesh dictate what our spirit does and what our bodies do. I tell you right now, if you've ever dealt with teenagers or even adults, they operate in the flesh almost always. They jump before they think, and then they fall. And when they're falling, they're all like, what happened? Why'd this happen? I don't understand. And then you look at them, and you're like, did you think about this? Did you? No. So taking them through the process of learning. But that's how self-deception works with us, right? Self-deception is us taking that jump in our flesh, again, to believe some of the lies and to do some of the things that have been done to us. So how do we combat self-deception? How do we know that we're not deceived? Self-deceived. First of all, you need to realize that we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves into believing things that are not true. And that's hard. That's a hard reality to face, that I can deceive myself to believe something that is not true. Another aspect of combating self-deception is self-reflection. Scripture talks about us meditating on the Word, talks about us thinking about life, talks about us focusing on the things of God. Where we line up with the things of God and where we line up in the world and in our own minds takes personal reflection. Personal reflection will grow you as a believer. It will grow you as a person. It will make you solid. It will give you a great foundation. It will give you abilities to move forward because you can see truth for what it is. Right? Because all deception is combated by truth. And who's the truth? Jesus. One of the great lies that we face in this world that people deal with that really messes with their self-confidence and really messes with their deceptions of themselves. In the world we live in, even in church sometimes, we need to be proud of our accomplishments. It's okay to say, wow, I did a great job. It's not okay to be prideful about it. And what's the difference? John did a great job with the presentation he did a couple weeks ago where he did the spoken word thing. But he didn't run around the congregation going, yeah, see what I did, see what I did, mm-hmm, yeah, see what I did, mm-hmm. That's prideful. He can be proud of what he did without being prideful of what he has done. We all have accomplishments. We all have things that we have done that have brought us great joy. We all have done things that are an amazing thing. Parents, I'm sure that children are one of your great accomplishments in life, for the most part. I know I have my own accomplishments in life. I have my own personal accomplishments and spiritual accomplishments. And I'm thankful for them, but I don't go around boasting on them. And I try to always give the Lord credit for what he does, because it's all about him and never about us. The fourth thing that we need to do, we need to reject the lies that people have told you. Self-reflection will help you with that. When you look inside of yourself to see who you are, you will remember the words that people have spoke over you. Those words are not your identity. Those words do not and are not true unless you make them true. You have to reject the lies in your life. And we have to stop comparing ourselves to other people. We watch people go online, and the next thing you know, they're buying this product, they're buying that product because they want to look like somebody, they want to emulate somebody. We shouldn't do that. Be your own identity. Be your own person, because God made you unique and special. You do not have to be like everyone else. Scripture talked before about we all have things to do, right? We all have a load that we have to carry. God has given you a life and a will to do tasks for Him, right? We have to do them. If we're not doing the things of God, what are we doing? We're doing the things of the world. And as God has given you things to do, and God has blessed you with those things to do, you have to carry them out. Well, why? Because those will be accomplishments in your life. And when you allow those accomplishments to be part of your identity, then your identity is tied to Christ and Christ's accomplishments in you, not the accomplishments of the world in you. Does that make sense? It's okay, the last thing is, it's okay to have positive feelings about yourself. You can actually like yourself. Did you know that? You can. You can like who you are. You can like who God made you to be. My gosh, though, if you drive around the road, you drive down the road and you talk to people, they're grumpy. They all hate their life. They hate everything going on. Why? Why can't we just have joy knowing who we are, being thankful for the little things, and just enjoy life? Think positive things about yourself. I mean, don't deceive yourself the other way where you're super hyper positive and being, those people are crazy. Your arm's half cut off. You're like, oh, it'll be fine. It'll be all right. Don't worry about that. I mean, we don't want to go that crazy, but, you know, there are, we need to be thinking, there are people that do that, but we really need to be positive. We need to be thinking positive about ourselves. It's okay. I give you permission. God gives you permission to think positive things about yourself. Not that it's going to be stupid, but you can think positively about the things you do. As simple as, you know, when I paint lures, I don't know, some of you all may not know this, but I paint fishing lures for tournament anglers and other people. And my greatest joy is when that guy or that gal catches the fish on a lure that I painted. Don't ask me why. I feel accomplished when I outsmarted the fish with a brain the size of my thumb. It's a pretty big challenge, but hey. But it brings me joy. It makes me happy to know that guys are catching fish, that they're doing well. The sixth thing that we need to have, and this is an important thing, you need to have wise counsel around you. You have to have brothers and sisters in Christ around you that will speak truth to you, even if it's gonna hurt. Because without truth, we will be self-deceived. Without Jesus, we are self-deceived. I have four brothers, not in this church. I should say I have four brothers outside of this church that I talk to frequently about life. One lives in Alaska. The other one's up in Plattsburgh. They're all away from here. But the reality is, those men have carte blanche in my life to speak truth always. And trust me, when I tell you, they all are like, no, you're wrong. Or, hey, I agree with you. Have those relationships in your life, because those relationships will be the things that will change you, that will help you grow as a person, that will help solidify who you are as a person. You want to know what your flaws are? If you're married, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Kids, if you want, or young adults, kids, if you all want to know what your flaws are, ask your brothers or sisters. They'll tell you. Right? So, people around you are there to help you, to have your best interests in mind. It's absolutely essential. And I don't have seven up there, but I have a seventh thing. Accept life the way that it is. Life is going to be challenges. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be times where there's not going to be an answer. Where, you know, sometimes people come to me and they're like, Pastor Mark, I just want you to pray, and what's the answer? I don't always have the answer. Pastor Ray doesn't always have the answer. Sometimes there is no answer. Sometimes we just need to go with our best instincts, and we need to step out in faith and believe. And that is hard. Because how many of us want to control the situation so that we don't have to be vulnerable? That's self-deception. When we try to control situations so we don't have to be vulnerable. Because vulnerable makes us weak, or so we are told that's weak. Do you know what being vulnerable does for you and to you? When you allow yourself to be vulnerable to those around you, whether it be brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it be situations, whether it be to God, when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, it says that we trust God for who God is. And we are going to let God work this out no matter what. And it may not be the outcome that we want. How many times have we prayed for people and the Lord has taken them home? That's not the outcome we want, but the Lord has a bigger plan. Sometimes we just need to accept that life is filled with challenges and God has a bigger plan, and we are going to move forward no matter what. We got to go through it, but we will. So your identity in Christ is absolutely important to Him and to you, or should be important to you. Look for your identity in Christ. Do not be self-deceived to believe that you are something that you're not. Remember the scriptures. Remember the moments in your life when God has done miracles and amazing things, or He has touched you, or He has spoken through you in scripture. Whatever it is that the Lord has done in your life, remember that. Because that is truth. You have to believe in yourself, folks. You have to believe that God has something for you. You have to believe that God is doing things in your life. You have to believe that there are going to be challenges. You have to understand that there's an enemy out there that's going to destroy you, or try to destroy you and keep you from Christ and what Christ has for you. That's truly what self-deception boils down to, is the enemy trying to destroy you in your mind and shrink you in your mind so that you cannot believe that God has something for you. God does. I promise you that. So when we believe in ourselves and we move forward, we can trust God even further. And you have to trust yourself. Trusting God and trusting yourself, two challenging things. I once heard a gentleman say, I trust myself not to trust myself. That was awkward conversation. But trusting yourself to know who God is, trusting yourself to believe in God, trusting that God can move in your life, trusting that God loves you and cares about you, trusting that God has never left you nor forsaken you, Even in the midst of all of the garbage you have ever gone through, God has always been there. One of my favorite pictures, drawings on the internet is a guy that's getting ready to do drugs. It's a great illustration. And as he's getting ready to do drugs, Jesus is leaning over him, and his arm is superimposed over the guy's. And so the guy is injecting the drugs into Jesus' arm, not his. And what that truly is that as God walks with us, he walks through it with us through every horrible thing that's ever happened. Every word, every physical thing, every spiritual thing. He's always there. Stand firm in the Word of God. This is an absolute essential part of your life. When you're sitting there and you're cycling through your mind and you're like, I'm no good, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, you tell your mind, you pick up Scripture and you say, the Lord says I am this. The Lord says that I am His child. The Lord says that I am loved. The Lord says that I have value. That's how you combat self-deception. It is based on the fundamental aspects of Scripture, because in Scripture, when we tie it to our identity in Christ, we tie our lives to identity in Christ, nothing can break us if we believe and we walk and stand firm in the Word. Living without God and without the identity of God, you will have a life that is unfulfilled. And that's what we see in our world today. That's why we're seeing the crime. That's why we're seeing the violence. We're seeing people that are not fulfilled in the world we live in, and they're acting out. They're playing video games that mess with the psyche and make shootings okay and make prostitution okay and making money okay and doing all the other things. We're watching TikTok. Don't watch TikTok. It's a horrible thing. TikTok and Instagram, where all these horrible things are out there, these stupid things that people do, and people are tying their identities to those because there is no identity to be had without that. That's why it's important for us as a church. That is why it's important for us as believers to reach out to people around us. They're hurting, folks. And they need people that will love them and care about them and that will help them. Without people talking to believers or unbelievers, we're going to lose them. I read a statistic the other day that said out of 10 non-believers, only 3 of them have ever had anyone talk to them about Christ. That gives you that's a 70% chance. So if you talk to 2 people that you think don't know Jesus, you got a 70% chance of reaching an unbeliever. All right. We're going to go to communion. And communion today is always awesome. Why do we do communion? We do it in remembrance of the things that God has done for us in His life. We do it in remembrance of Jesus' death on the cross. We do it as a symbol and remembrance of every shed drop of blood, that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He has value in us. That's why we do it, right? We sometimes take communion lighthearted. We sometimes take, it's just something that we do. It's a sacrament, and we're just going to do it. It's part of our, just part of what we do in church. It's not. This is personal. This is truth. What Jesus did for you on the cross is truth. It cannot be denied. The world has tried for thousands of years, and they have failed at every avenue. His disciples didn't always get it, right? How many times did the disciples mess up? There were a ragtag bunch of people that, man, I can't believe that Jesus picked them, some of them. He had to shake his head a lot. He had to be like, Lord, really, these are the guys you gave me? You know? But we have the opportunity for hindsight. We have the opportunity to look through Scripture and to know those failures that those disciples had. Jesus' death on the cross signified multiple things to us. One, every ounce of your sin was paid for. You have to be willing to let it go. Two, that the covenants, there was a new covenant made, and there was a time of grace. And God has given us a period and a time of grace. How does this tie into self-deception as a message? The world is out there, and it is trying to deceive and trying to harm those that are believers and those that would become believers. If you have deceptions in your life, this is the perfect time to bring it to the altar. It's the perfect time to bring it to the cross. It's the perfect time to say, Lord, my life ain't always right, but I love you and I want to follow you. Self-deception, many times, takes us away from Christ, right? It hurts us. It harms us. It pulls away the truth and the realities that we should have, which is what God has for us, and embraces the secular world. So, I'm going to use Luke 22:19 today. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. As we prepare to take the bread and the cup, do it in remembrance of him. Do it in remembrance of the day that you gave your life to him. And you had that joy, that feeling, that moment. Do it today in remembrance of that miracle of healing or that miracle that happened where maybe it was you didn't get killed in a car accident. Whatever God has done in your life, do it in the remembrances of what God has done in your life and what he will continue to do in your life because of the love he has for you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for everything that you have done in our lives. And Lord, there's believers all over this room that know you, that love you. And Lord, I just pray at this moment, at this time, that there is a remembrance of the sacrifice that you have given to them and that moment in their life where they met you or they experienced something that you have done for them. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you have for all that are here. We thank you for the blessing of communion. Father, I just pray that as we begin to consume this, that your Spirit would dwell and move mightily in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us eat. His stripes that he received made the ground red with blood, a living sacrifice. He died on the cross, humbled, humiliated, hurt, so that you could have freedom. Let's remember that today. Let's drink. Father, as we close out this service, I pray. pray that your hand would be upon all of us. I pray for those traveling mercies for Pastor Ray and Giselle. I pray for healing over Jerry's body on her back. I pray for unspoken needs in this congregation. I pray for the family that lost their daughter in California and for those that lost family in Texas. Lord, the world is upside down. But what we did today, as we remember the goodness of God, we remember the love that you have for us, Lord. Let it spark in us a fire. Let it spark in us a desire to reach those that are lost. Lord, it is our desire that no one would ever go to hell, but everyone would have an opportunity to know you. We pray this, Lord, over this county, that not a person would ever go to hell from here, but they would all go to heaven, Lord, that they would begin a relationship. Lord, we pray for revival. And Lord, revival has occurred multiple times throughout this nation. And we pray, Lord, for that. We also pray for the mental health, Lord, of the people. There is self-deceptions and there are lies going on and there's identity issues and all kinds of crazy things, Lord. You are the King. And Lord, we pray that through your Spirit, you begin to take away the mental health issues that are out there, Lord. I pray that you begin to give people solid foundations. And I pray for this congregation, Lord, that as they stand on your word and they stand on you and what you have done for them, that their lives will be changed. And that as they stand in the secular world, that people could see that and they could share and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God bless you over this week.